Yeah, Lord, I thank you for exactly that, that it all belongs to you, every moment, every day, and the world can say what it wants, and even we as a church, too, we fail, and we think that our time belongs to ourselves, or just, oh, God, we forget about you, and we celebrate our own things sometimes, and the world is celebrating immorality right now. And we declare, just like Mel said, we declare that it all belongs to you. January to December, it all belongs to you. This month is, we celebrate you. And maybe that's what we should do, that's a good, you know, maybe we should meditate on God's mercy and the flood, and that he has promised and he's made covenant with us as people. The rainbow that was in the sky when the sacrifice was made. And so, Lord, we celebrate. We celebrate your covenant with us. We celebrate that covenant never to destroy the earth by a flood again. And I'm sure I know there are many times when you look down and you see the immorality, but I praise you that rainbow is a reminder, the rainbow in the sky, and that rainbow isn't missing any colors. It's got them all there. And I praise you. Praise you for family. Praise you for biblical sexuality, Lord. Praise you that you've made your will very clear, that you've made it known to us. I worship you in your name. Amen. Again, I would encourage, don't be afraid to speak in conversation with people. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. Because ironically enough, we have the answers that they're looking for. The world is chasing things and chasing gratification in a number of different areas, but we have the answer. Even answers to their sexual questions, we have the answer. I still remember working with these guys, and they would talk about their exploits, and I would just, because I knew them well enough and we had spent time, I would just laugh at them. And I said, you guys don't know anything about sex at all. And they'd be like, what? What are you talking about? We know. Like, you don't know anything. Let me tell you about how you were created and what you are meant for. And I talked to them about covenant and, you know, the safety and the trust and the beautiful vulnerability in biblical intimacy and how it's meant for covenant relationship. And I shared, hey, they're sharing their exploits and freely, and they don't hold back. Well, I'm not going to hold back with what I know to be true about how God made sex and all that too. So do not be frightened and do not be bullied into silence because of flags being waved and all this. Yeah, you have the truth. All right. Okay, so I'm really excited about just what God was ministering there in worship. And man, I was not ready to stop. And when I saw Craig putting down his guitar, I was like, oh, darn, I'm up. I wanted to keep going. But, okay, here we are. The neat thing is I wanted to talk about praise and worship today and just some of the things that the Lord laid on my heart. As I was seeking him, it was a weird one because I'm always a little bit cautious when I receive something early in the week from the Lord and I think it's for Sunday, because usually when I receive stuff early in the week, it's usually for me or for later on, like maybe 6 months down the road or something, and I just start studying it and then the Lord will bring it up later. But he brought this up early in the week and I thought it was for this Sunday, and I just followed it through and nothing changed during the week. And so here we are, and it's about praise and worship. And And I love this morning worshiping together, and we're growing in it. And this morning so is a living example of what I think God wants to minister to us today. How it started is reading about David's life and just pondering and meditating on David's walk with God. And I look at David and I believe that he is the biblical example of what a worshiper should look like. We've often said David was a New Testament believer living in Old Testament times, and he proved that over and over again, because although he kept the law, he worshiped and he served God at a much deeper place. And I know people have asked me before, did the Spirit live in Old Testament saints? And I don't believe so, not the way he lives in us. I don't believe theologically. So my theological answer is no, I don't believe so. We are blessed to live in this age of where the Holy Spirit has made us, and that's collectively. There is only one temple, even though in some way we are small, like we are temples. But Ephesians, for instance, makes it very clear that we're one temple. So my theological answer is no, the Spirit didn't live in David the way he lives in us. And yet, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm at least a little bit wrong on that when we get to heaven and when our eyes are open, because I just see a New Testament worshiper in David and just this freedom. This is the reality of David's life, right? Where the tabernacle was set up in Gibeon, I think it was called Gibeon, and all the daily sacrifices and all that the law, the Mosaic law, required was fulfilled there. But David set up a tent also in Jerusalem for the Ark of the Covenant, and where just continual worship happened, and he set up a whole array of ways and to worship the Lord and organize the priests, and certain priests were set aside just for worship. And he basically said to them, don't do anything else. Your responsibility is worship. So the very first worship pastors, if you will, were in David's time. And so he didn't fail to fulfill the Old Testament Mosaic law requirements, but he realized too, Lord, you don't desire sacrifice. A broken heart, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise, and you want my heart, you want what's inside, you don't just want praise from my lips and all this. And so I began to really dwell on David. And the question then is what does biblical worship, or and what did his worship look like? Like, what can we learn from him as worshipers? Okay? And so I just wrote down a number of things. They're not necessarily in any particular order, so don't take them in that I'm doing it in order of importance. It was more of an order of what was revealed to me and what I wrote down, and sometimes in order of what I saw in the scriptures. So I'm just going to go through it. 2 Samuel is mainly where we're going to be. There's also some 1 Chronicles in there, some Psalms. But basically 2 Samuel and chapter 6 is where we are going to learn a lot about worship. And when I say learn, I also at the same time mean we are going to be encouraged in the fact that what God has been doing in us already. So this is not just hey, let's do this. It is also, hey, this is what we've been doing. Do you recognize this? As we go through some of these things, do you recognize that this is what God has been doing in us? And even on a morning like this, like I know that the Jamaicans use this space for worship on Sunday evening. So the Jamaican nationals, they come in here and they have their own style. If you've ever heard a Jamaican worship service, you know, like they get going at the peach pickers picnic and they just get going. They have their own style and they worship the Lord freely. They've been worshiping in this place. But, you know, those of you who grew up in this place, I know that I love what Judy said, where just these pictures of these older German ladies, and I agree, and we're going to get to that too, even where even though there was quietness, they would be joining in because their hearts were fully for the Lord. But I also love now that there is this freedom in us to worship in this place, and man, there is some stuff going on there. But anyways, okay, so 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. And this one has always hit me. So this is where the ark is being brought to Jerusalem, and the whole city is rejoicing. They're sacrificing to the Lord. Verse 14: David, wearing a linen ephod, I think that's how you say it, danced before the Lord with all his might. Nothing held back. That is biblical worship. Nothing held back. Like we were talking about before, even all in. All in. And for David, it was in dance. He was a dancer. He was expressive. He was kind of an artsy guy, okay? And so he was expressive. And he didn't allow anything to hold him back. As I was contemplating this part, see, I'm a little bit of an artsy guy. I'm a mixed bag, but I have artsy in me. And I definitely, as you know, I have expression in me. And so for me to be quiet, I can be quiet, don't get me wrong. And I worship God in silence as well. But I know that the way God has made me is to be loud sometimes too. And if my worship, and I'm just talking about me right now, I don't want to project onto you, but if my worship doesn't get loud every now and again, I'm not worshiping the Lord with all my might, because that's how he's made me. Now, he may make some people quieter people, and so don't feel the pressure to shout at the top of your lungs at that point. Now, if you hear the Holy Spirit saying it, or if you know the Holy Spirit, excuse me, is rising up in you in that way, then give expression to it. But don't feel the pressure to express your worship the way I express my worship. But here's the underlying fact, is worshiping the Lord with all that is in you, with all your might, nothing held back. And I used to wonder, what would it look like? What would it look like to dance before the Lord with all your might? Nothing held back. And the beautiful thing is, as we've been worshiping together, I see that more and more. I'm going to call some of you out here, like in a good way, don't worry, but like just as examples. But I learned what worshiping the Lord with all your might and dancing before the Lord with all your might looks like by seeing Jesse worship the Lord and dance. Okay? Nothing held back. Now again, not all of us maybe are going to be dancers. And as I was contemplating this part of it and this part of worship, dance, right? And dancing with all your might, I had this picture of Carlene's brother's wedding a number of years ago, and he married a dancer, okay? Laura is a dancer, and very good, and her dad is a dancer. And so at the ceremony, like at the reception afterwards, the father-daughter dance, it wasn't just the dad and bride dancing nicely. She changed out of her wedding gown so there it could be free-flowing, and she had this nice little like after-party or party dress on and everything. And it was this choreographed, amazing thing. And I think I was close to Kevin as we were watching the father and bride dance together. He's like, oh shoot, I have to follow that, you know, kind of thing. And then I think it was after that Kevin and Laura danced. I'm not sure what the propriety is, whether husband, anyways. But Kevin is not a dancer, and I don't think he'd mind me saying that. And so their dance was more close to the Fonz kind of dance, right? And that was it. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as he was all in that moment, right? As long as he was fully there, engaged, celebrating with his bride, it doesn't matter. One person, they can do pirouettes, and seriously, her dad was picking her up in the air and all of this, and it was like, wow, that's pretty amazing, actually. As long as it's all in, we are meant to worship the Lord with all our might, and dance is included in that. And so for some of us, it's so great. I love watching Henry sometimes, especially on Thursday nights. He'll come to worship time on Thursday nights, and we've talked about dancing before, and Henry was not raised in a dancing community, you know, kind of environment. And yet you see his foot going, and I've teased him before a little, you're dancing. And at first he's like, no, I'm just tapping. But then he's like, yep, I am. Yep. And he's tapping his foot, and he's slapping his thigh with his hand. We are meant to worship and dance. We are meant to express ourselves. And, you know, someone prayed about, oh, Lord, like if there's any religious spirits, I think you're talking about that. And, you know, a lot of us have been raised in a community who love Jesus incredibly much. But this place of expressing our love physically to him, no, that's a no-no. And yet, we are meant to express our love and love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your nefesh, with all your soul. And that, I love that little video again this week where it's everything. From the tip of your toe to the top of your head, from the deepest of feelings to the deepest of thoughts, everything that you are. So when we dance, and if you feel like you need to jump or whatever, all your might, just, or at least the way I would say that is, don't hold anything back. No fear of what people will think, no fear of what others will think at all, no fear of yourself. It's all for God and just giving everything to him. So he danced before the Lord with all his might. What also goes along with this is what we see in verse 14 and verse 20. So it says that David, wearing a linen ephod, he danced before the Lord. And then verse 20, it says, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls and of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. Now, there is there's debate about these verses, just so you know. I don't believe, after studying it a little bit, it's not this picture of, I read one article, David worshiping God in his tidy whities. It's not that, okay? That's not what was happening here. He didn't disrobe in that way. Some people believe he still actually had his garments on. It's just that he worshiped the Lord unhindered in those garments. But what came to my heart, and again, we won't know until we get there, is as I was meditating on this and picturing it, so this is Kevin. I think I can use just in that case, right? Yeah, just, this is just Kevin, although it might be more than Kevin. I don't know. But there's David, the king. And the king is expected to act in a certain way. There's a certain decorum for the king. And you know, often the king and the royal, they wear these garments and these clothes that are a little bit hindering, and yet they are kingly garments. And they look very uncomfortable, yet they look nice, I guess, what some people think is looking nice. And I saw in my mind David looking at how everyone else, the common people, the common folk, were worshiping God freely in their in their regular garb, and they could jump and leap and all that, and yet here he is, you know, stuffy collar and a tie that's too tight and maybe hindered by all these long robes. And I saw David just saying, no, that's not how today is going to go, and taking off those hindering clothes and worshiping in just with all his might in his common garb, if you will. That might be the way it was, that might not, but what I do see is this place of unhindered worship. And I'm not going to allow these expectations of what a king should act like get in the way. Yeah, gave him his armor. Right.
Like he needed to be unhindered and just like he was before the Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great picture of joining those two together. Unhindered warfare, unhindered worship. And so it's this place of whatever hinders us, we need to get rid of. Whatever would hinder our worship, whatever would tie the tie a little bit too tight. I'm not against ties, don't get me wrong. I actually really like ties. I just don't wear them here. I haven't worn one in a long time, actually, because I don't have occasion necessarily. But I don't like them if we're worshiping. Because even this shirt, that's why I had I know it got cold because it was a cool breeze, and that's okay. But it's like sometimes when you get the hot shirt on and you start doing calisthenics and worship and all that, you start sweating. I don't want anything to hinder. So if it's clothing, I don't want that to hinder my worship. You know, if I'm worried about, if I kneel down, I'm going to wreck the knees of my pants, well, then I shouldn't be wearing those pants. If I'm so worried about the knees of my pants, I shouldn't wear those kind of pants to church, because you know what? Sometimes God's going to call me to kneel. So either don't be worried about the knees of your pants and just buy new pants every once in a while as need be, or wear different pants. But either way, don't need be. Saw that. Don't allow anything to hinder. If you find, you know, the Lord is calling you to dance with all your might, and yet I can't dance in a shirt like this, I can't dance in a dress like this or a blouse like this or whatever, then don't wear that. Don't wear that then. And this is where everything from modesty to just being able to be free enters in, where nothing hinders us. Right? Nothing hinders our worship. And I just love that picture of David saying, forget this. I'm not, you know, I know I'm kind of modernizing it in my head, but I see him in the royal box as the parade goes by. You know how that happened? And, you know, he's expected to wave like this. He's just like, forget that. I want to be down there where the action is. I want to be right in front of the Ark of the Covenant. I want to be worshiping and dancing and leaping with all my might. And that's what worship before the Lord looks like. But again, don't think that you need to look like the person next to you. Because maybe worshiping the Lord with all your might and unhindered is sitting silently. And I know sometimes, again, I'm a mixed bag. Sometimes my deepest moments of worship is when I'm just silent before the Lord, sitting as the music is going and as people are shouting the name of Jesus. And I just sit because that's the way he's ministering to me at that moment. And that's how my worship is at that moment. But nothing hindered. Okay, we take off all the old garments. We disrobe ourselves of all what people call proper and polite and all that. And we just say, no, I dance before the Lord. I love that David says that in verse 21. So this is another one. It's before the Lord, not worried about what others think. David says in verse 21, David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me as ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. And by the way, verse 22, I'll become even more undignified than this, and I'll be humiliated in my own eyes, but by these slave girls that you spoke of, I'll be held in honor. It's before the Lord you worship. If you have trouble with the way others are worshiping around you, I would encourage you to close your eyes. And sometimes I need to do that, not because I'm troubled by it, but I'm distracted by it sometimes. And that's my stuff. Not that I'm looking down. I'm actually, oh, that's beautiful, but shoot, now I have my eyes on them and not on the Lord, and that's not what worship is all about. And so, you know, and yet sometimes I do. Like this morning, I turned around and I saw, I just needed to watch everyone worship, but I was worshiping at the same time. So you know what's going on inside. You know the connection with the Lord at that point. But if you're being hindered by what others are thinking, close your eyes or come to the front. If you're at the back and you're seeing everyone in front of you and you're getting distracted, come to the front. Then there's no problem. Although then it might be now everyone's looking at me. But either which way, deal with it, because we are meant to worship before the Lord. It is the Lord we are celebrating. We raise our voice to Him. We wave the flags before Him. We sing praises to Him. We dance to Him. It's all about Him. All focus is on Him. I love that. And if it looks undignified to others, you know what? That's their problem. But I praise God that we are, like again, we are walking this out. Like, can we just stop for a minute and, like, especially those of us who maybe grew up in the church, right? Think about how far He has taken us. Hey, can we just celebrate the fact that, man, yeah, we're shouting to the Lord. We're dancing to the Lord. We're waving flags to the Lord. We're jumping to the Lord. We're celebrating. Like, I never used to understand these verses before, and yet now, like, I understand this now. I get this. Experientially. So it's so good. And it's not that we are being uncaring or flippant towards others. It's just this place of, like David says, I'm sorry, but I wasn't worshiping for you, Michael. I was celebrating to the Lord. I was celebrating to Him. And I'm willing to become even more undignified than this. I know I'm king. And maybe you think that that's not the way a king should act. That's okay. Because before I'm king, I'm a worshiper of God. And same with me. I don't exactly know how pastors are supposed to act. I've been told a few times that I'm not a typical pastor. I don't know what that means exactly. I just know I have to worship the Lord with how He's created me and fully. And I want us to all be free to walk that out. Okay? So not worried about what other people think. And again, like we talked about before, not pressured by social norms. That's not how a king's supposed to act. Well, too bad. Don't allow social norms to hinder your worship of God. Now, again, there is places for things like there's modesty, which is a biblical reality. There is care for others, which is a biblical reality, and all of that. But as far as social norms and what society would say, and even church society sometimes, and we worship before the Lord. Okay? Okay. 2 Samuel 6, back to verse 13. It says this, When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf, meaning David and the people with him. Worship comes with sacrifice. Romans 12 talks about how we are now a living sacrifice, and our lives are a living sacrifice. What we do here when the band is playing and when we're singing, we are worshiping in song. That is only one way to worship, in song. And we are meant to worship in song. We are meant to worship with music. That's very clear in Scripture. But worship is deeper than that as well. Worship is actually, we find out as New Testament believers, with our very lives. So we're not putting a lamb on the altar. We're not putting a goat or a ram or a bull or anything like that, a pigeon or a grain offering. We're putting ourselves on the altar. And we sacrifice. We yield things. We give up things. And we give up things that are important to us. If you do a little study on sacrifice in the Old Testament, you'll realize that God is not impressed with sacrifices of lame animals or animals that no one wants, sick, dying. Well, this one's dying anyway, so we can give it to the Lord. You know, look at it. It's diseased. It's all mangy. Its hair is falling out. Its fur is coming off. Well, we can give that to the Lord then. What does he care? No, we're supposed to pick out parts from our flock that are without blemish and that are valuable. Our lives are meant to be a sacrifice. So sometimes in modern day then, what does that look like? It does mean that sometimes we have to sacrifice family, what people think, and we have to sacrifice sometimes relationships that the Lord has called us to lay down. And we sacrifice things that we might want to do. I've said before, and this year I have not had to make that decision with regards to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I've said before, even if they're in Game 7, the Stanley Cup Finals, if we have Monday night service or Tuesday night Bible study or Thursday night worship, that's where I'm going to be. Toronto Raptors are in the finals right now. They got a game tonight, and I'll watch it tonight because I don't have anything up. But if all of a sudden someone calls me on the phone and says, hey, can we talk? You bet I'm giving it up. If it's game 7 and fourth quarter and it's tied and all of a sudden someone needs prayer or someone needs ministry and someone's looking for someone to talk to, you know I'm doing that. I'll lay the Raptors on the altar every day of the week, no problem. Because the Lord is God. And we lay down our lives, we lay down our finances, we lay down our time, we lay down our energy, we sacrifice to the Lord. I like what David says later on in Samuel after he's counted his fighting men and he realizes that it was a sin. And he meets the angel of the Lord, which is told another study, again, Bible Project, really good. But the angel of the Lord, who I believe is Jesus, and the angel of the Lord was going through the land and people were being killed because of David's sin. And he meets the angel of the Lord at the threshing floor where the temple was eventually built. And he wants to sacrifice to God. And the person who owned that piece of land said, well, you can have the threshing floor. You can have the animals. I'll provide everything. And David says, no. I'm going to buy it because I am not going to sacrifice something to the Lord that cost me nothing. Because he realized that's a useless sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice to the Lord something that costs us? Are we willing to sacrifice our lives? That's a part of biblical worship. And again, I want you to be encouraged because I see it in our lives more and more. I see it. It's like, yes, Lord. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 37. I'm going to start moving along here. 16, verse 37. So we just read in 16 a psalm of thanks, and before that it talks about the bringing the ark of the Lord and setting it inside the tent that David had pitched at the beginning of chapter 16. But verse 37 said, David left Asaph and his associates before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister there regularly according to each day's requirements. Biblical worship is constant, is continual, it's a regular thing. Forrest and I were talking about this a little bit recently, and just worshiping the Lord as the day goes on. You know how I walk this out many times is I'll see something. I was walking in Niagara the other day, and this one tree, right? There are some trees that are just in full bloom. Some are past bloom now, but there are some of these decorative trees that are just full bloom. And there is this white tree just covered in flowers, absolutely covered, just the whole thing. And it was a good 14 feet high and, you know, 12 feet wide, big tree, gorgeous. When I see something like that, I just have to thank God. Thank you, Lord. You do amazing work. There are these purple trees, these light purple ones that are in bloom right now, and I've never noticed that the flowers aren't just at the end of the branches, but they're on the big branches too. And these big branches that are the main branches of the tree are covered in these little purple flowers. I just stopped and stared for a while. Oh, Lord, that's beautiful. You are such an artist. I walk by the park, and there's some families in the park, and there's these two siblings playing soccer with each other. And the brother is playing with the smaller sister, and they're kicking it back and forth, and there's laughter, and the family's nearby, and they're just enjoying a picnic together. Oh, Lord, I thank you for family. Thank you for family. Thank you so much for the beauty of family. Thank you for laughter. I pray blessing on them. I pray that they would come to know you if they don't know you, but I thank you for family and our worship. Just allow the worship and the thanksgiving and all of it to just spring up within you. Don't hold it back. Notice things. Take notice. It's continual. Sing a song of praise. Put worship music on. Sing a song of praise to God. It's not just for Sundays. And it's not just for designated times. It is for that as well, but it's continual before the Lord. You are a worshiper. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. So praise him for all kinds of things. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. And let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Creativity. We are meant to praise God and worship him creatively with all kinds of things, all kinds of instruments, in all kinds of ways. Dancing, we've already talked about that. Different worship music, different worship styles, different instruments. The Psalms also talk about sing a new song to the Lord. Sing a new song. So not just the old ones. Yes, we have the old ones. Praise God for that. We were just joking before behind the wall here. There's green hymnals. For those of us who grew up in the Mennonite Brethren Church, those are very familiar. I have one at home. I took one when Grantham MB Church got rid of their green hymnals. I asked if I could have one. They said, yeah, sure. We're just giving them away anyways or throwing them away. And old hymns, new songs. Songs written by Bethel, songs written by Craig and Candace. Songs written by people that we know well and songs that we don't know well. And songs that are fast and loud and got a good beat to them and songs that are quiet and contemplative. Wide variety of worshiping the Lord. This wide variety. Be creative in your worship. Okay, this one will throw you off a little bit. 1 Chronicles 25. You'll be surprised to hear this coming from my lips. I like throwing in those surprises. Verses 1-7. I'm not going to read it all, but you'll get the hint. What it's all about. David, together with the commanders of the army, set apart some of the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun for the ministry of prophesying, accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals. Here is the list of the men who performed the service, and then you have the different people listed, and they're there for prophesying, they're there for thanking. And I love it in verse 3, at the end of it, it says, using the harp in thanking and praising the Lord. You have all these people, sons and daughters and all of that. Verse 6, all these men were under the supervision of their fathers for the music of the temple of the Lord, with cymbals, lyres, harps for the ministry of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the supervision of the king, along with their relatives, all of them trained and skilled in music for the Lord. They number 288. My point is this. Sometimes our worship before the Lord is organized. We love spontaneity, and I believe that spontaneity, spontaneous worship, is essential in worship. But some of us maybe, or maybe I'll just say me, and then if you can relate, you can then work this out in yourself then too. Sometimes we believe the lie then that spontaneity is the only way to worship, and that organization is of the devil. That's wrong. If you read through the worship, the Davidic worship and worship under King David, it was very organized at times. Most of the time, in fact. It was very organized by the Lord, keeping their eyes on Jesus. Well, not Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus at that point, but Yahweh, keeping their eyes on him. But it is not unholy to be organized. It is not unholy to have a godly plan. I'm not saying that spontaneity needs to go. No, spontaneity too. We see that. We see that in our midst. We see the beauty of saying, can I pray right now? Or can I share? Or can we sing this song? Or you see, you know, Craig sometimes flipping through the song. I know God has a song for right now. I wonder what it is. I don't know what it is. And then boom, there it is. And we sing it together and it's anointed. There's a place for that. But we also can worship the Lord in organized, being organized. There is also a place, like I read in verse 7, all of them trained and skilled. There's a place to be trained in our different places of worship and in other areas too. There is a place for training and being skilled. Even in speaking, like sometimes I thank God for the biblical education I got at Briarcrest and that. But sometimes I think we went too far one way. But again, sometimes in my response to going too far the one way, meaning you have to manuscript your sermons. If you didn't notice, I don't manuscript my sermons. But, you know, you have to manuscript them and have everything just so and craft the sermon. But because they went so far one way, I sometimes think I need to go equally just as far the other way. And yet there's a place. I know that when Morgan shares her blog on Emmanuel Grace's website, it's organized thought. It's written out, and it is anointed, and it is beautiful. And I don't know, whether you write something down and then correct it and reword it and that. I know that I've done that when I've written music. I don't just spontaneously write the lyrics. I mean, sometimes it comes very quick, don't get me wrong, but then I'll rework it and look at it, and no, that doesn't quite fit, and da-da-da, and I'll pray over it, and I'll reword it. There's nothing wrong with organization as long as it's directed at God. And maybe we who are learning to be more spontaneous, maybe God will, like, I don't know where we are on that scale, but maybe the Lord wants to bring us, like, into balance in the middle, and maybe there's a time for praying. I know that praying about organization. I know that when we are going to be, for instance, next week, you know, we're outside. We don't have the screen. We don't have the computer. So, you know, I know that Lily and Craig have talked about, okay, Lord, what songs would you have us sing? And then having them on paper for us. That's not our norm. Or in the fall, when there's 24/7 worship time and we have 2 hours that we're going to be leading worship. You know what? There's nothing wrong with having an organized worship set. Praying through it beforehand. And I just want to share, like, because I know that the spontaneity and the listening to the Spirit is absolutely essential to us. And by the way, like when I share this, please don't think I'm talking against Craig or anything, because I remember before Craig and Morgan came, and they were here for about 6 months before Craig started leading worship, because I wanted him to see how I felt like the Lord wants us to lead worship. So I really began this spontaneity thing and waiting on the Lord. And if you come Monday nights, you realize that I do the same thing. And so I'm not saying anything against that. I know the Lord has worked through me that way. But there is this place of biblical worship also includes, it can include that organized worship. Okay? And then I've already shared about variety, choirs, instrumental, dance, clothing, different clothes made for the worshipers, singing, shouting. Again, I celebrate because my growing up years, I could not imagine going to a church where people were shouting Jesus' name, and I never thought I would be one of them, yelling at the top of my lungs. And again, God has given me a good set of lungs. I can be very loud. And sometimes, like this morning, when we were worshiping there, I know I wasn't just called to say, Jesus! I was meant to give her, and my throat is hurting right now because of our worship. That's such a cool thing. Like, my throat is raw and scratchy. Why? Because I was worshiping God this morning in the song. That's pretty cool. I praise God for what he's done in us. He is doing a good work in us, and he's carrying it on to completion, like that verse was shared this morning. And then finally, back to 2 Samuel, chapter 6. This is our final passage, at least. Worship is not meant to be watched. Worship is not a spectator sport. Verse 16, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. She wasn't even there in the midst of it. She was watching from a window. And that's when she saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And then we read in verse 21, verse 20, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls and the servants as any vulgar fellow would. So she despised him. Right? And verse 23 is incredibly sad. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. I've often wondered whether that was a supernatural thing where God closed her womb. Or was it a more natural thing? David was never intimate with her again. We need to be careful about watching worship and judging the way others worship. It's a dangerous thing. Back to the wedding theme that I was talking about before. When I'm at weddings, it's interesting. Whenever the husband or the bride and the groom kiss, I look away. When they tinkle the glasses, I just can't watch. Not because I think it's wrong. It's too intimate. That's for you two. It's not for me. And it's just feels weird to me. I celebrate their love, and it's just like, but that's between you two. I also think with worship, we can get into just watching, and it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. I loved it as I was watching you. Again, understand, it's not a hard and fast rule. As I was watching, I was worshiping and entering in with you. It wasn't just with you. It was all of us worshiping together. It's so neat because there's such a unity. Even as we were spread out, at one point I was like, should I call everyone in there? A little spread out. And like laughing, like, don't go to the back rows. And where are some people? In the back rows. But it was of God. And I'd be interested in why some of you were in the back, but like, I think it was God, like surrounding the, like where we were supposed to be in every part of this room kind of thing. And so just so you know, that was of the Lord. But even though we're a small group and we're spread out, there was such unity. And at one point, just this reality of our worship is filling this room. Like it's filling this room. Almost this place of, this room is a little too small for us. But it was filling this room. And what I loved is, even though different people were at different places, and a lot of us just had our eyes closed and we were worshiping, and it was just you and God. And yet it wasn't just you and God, it was us and God. No one was spectating. Everyone was together and in it and worshiping the Lord. It was so good. It was so right. It was so biblical and wonderful and godly. May we continue in it. Definition of worship. Celebration, veneration, exaltation. Requests are a part of worship. Reminders to the Lord, even. Expressions of love, proclamation, prophetic, thanksgiving, praise, petition, repentance. I praise God that I see all of those working out in our lives. So my encouragement is this, let's continue on. He has begun something in us. And I praise God for the encouragement and the affirmation as I did this study, as I went through it. It's like, yeah, 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 yeah. And I just see it in us. I see Him in us. Let's continue in Him. Continue on. It's so beautiful. And I believe like this morning in song, this morning was a wonderful example of it, of what biblical worship is. Are there any comments or questions? Yeah, Julie. We're just going to wait for the microphone because, yeah, no, don't worry.
It's pretty cool. Like, I don't know if you need encouragement, but just for encouragement from the beginning of this week, I also was hearing the same things. And what the Lord brought to my mind was the Little Drummer Boy song. And so, like, if you follow it through, he's like humble and he doesn't think he has anything to offer. And then as he goes through, it's, shall I play for him and to honor him? And then it's, I play my best for him.
Yeah.
Right. And anyway, so that went through my mind. And then in the middle of the week, I heard a sermon about how some of them offered, just carcasses as a sacrifice, and that, you know, that's not good enough. And then the Lord also was showing me in Romans 12, offer your body as a living sacrifice. So it's really cool. You came
neat.
Because I actually forgot about it, but it was actually woven into my whole week, that this same message.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. No. Oh. That's okay. She'll remember.
So I actually grew up in the tradition of quite literally despising people who move, really. Which is so crazy to look at. But I can remember so many examples growing up of if people were clapping off beat, then people were oh, that person, and it was it was brutal because it was you could feel how I don't know, it was I don't know how to explain it other than you kind of just felt curling up a little bit and anyways, and it was really cool. When I first started coming here on Sundays, I kind of shared with the two of you, when I first started coming here, I really wanted to learn more about that freedom in worship, because I felt I had never learned how to do that. And it's been really cool because I feel this has really been a place, especially as I feel I'm moving into a new season of life, quite literally moving to another city. It's been really cool to look back on this season and see how much I've grown in that, and knowing that I still have a lot more to go, but this was such a place of a catalyst for starting that, and so it's really
praise
cool.
God. That's good. Morgan. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, just during worship, when we were worshiping, I kept seeing this picture of these huge what are they called? Sound waves, just leaving the building, right? But just this idea of, and this truth of, it's not even just the sound waves, it's the spiritual wave, right? That, and so there's, worship is, I love that what, you've explained it all, and then what it does actually when it's uninhibited and just raw.
Yeah.
All there, right? So it was just really neat.
It's good.
Yeah, I affirm that. I felt that too. That is going out of the building.
It's good. Yeah. And just so you know too, yes, all believers are called to worship, but I believe that there is a calling of worship on this congregation. Just all Israelites are called to worship, but then the sons of Asaph and these other people who are set aside, they were specifically called to it, that was on them. I believe that's one of our callings as Emmanuel Grace. Julie again. Okay. Giving a shout out. Yeah. Anyone else? Yep.
Well, just the thought that was coming to me was, as we mature in this, or as we grow in this, it's actually a move from a willingness to a desire. If you know what I mean, there's a willingness, Lord, okay, I'm willing to go there, but with maturity comes a desire to go there, which is so much more than just okay, I'll do it type of thing. It's I want to do it, I purposely want to move in that, and that's what I see as what's happening within Emmanuel Grace, anyways. As we fellowship, we're making that shift.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's a choice.
Yeah, it is. Oh, Mel, yeah, getting your work out there, Car. It's good.
It's good.
It's good. Yeah.
I just
talking about, you know, old church, and I grew up in, you know, hymns and all that kind of thing too, but I just remember my dad worshiping in Bethany Church, and he could not hold a tune, but he still worshiped, and he sang at the top of his lungs, yeah, as much as you did in the church, you know. So it's not, I mean, yes, worship the Lord with skill, but also worship the Lord with whatever you have.
Absolutely. The best that you have, not the best that you don't have. And I like what Judy's picture, as we were worshiping together, of these older ladies who taught Sunday school. Like, there were a lot of people who, like, went in their journey of worship and worshiping God. They went from here to here. And they worshiping expressively, maybe quietly, but it, like in their heart, where they could join in, and now we can build on that. And so when we mention, I want to be careful about mentioning how we grew up in that too, because there's a lot of really, really good stuff. And so it's not with, I don't want to say it, and forgive me if I've said anything that would push down, because it's that place of, no, there's some worshipers, like there was a lot of really anointed worship, and yeah, I hope you understand that, and it's good.
Sorry. Nope, it's good.
I think that, well, just thinking about growing up in the church too, there's a difference between like suppressing, you know, what you, like the worship that you want to express, and I don't know, like, you know, when I was growing up, it was like, yeah, we were just sat there, and like sometimes I'd have tears in my eyes or whatever, but you know, to actually stand up and like just dance, it was like, yeah, you kind of suppress it, and that's not honoring, and I think that's the difference. Like, you can be sitting there and worshiping with all your heart, like you said, but you don't want to suppress anything, right?
That's good. Anyone else? All right. Yep, it's for freedom that Christ. Oh, that's good. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna close in prayer then. Lord, I thank you for the work that you've done in us and that you are doing in us, and you're bringing us more and more into freedom. And I thank you for those who went before us, and I just get this picture, Lord, of people worshiping and wanting to express, but just where the church was at, where things were at, it just didn't happen. And yet there's been freedom been passed down to us, and I just praise you for what you're doing in us, I guess is what I'm saying, and thank you. We love you, Lord, in your name, amen. Mm-hmm.